Hello, hello. Welcome back to How to Learn a Language, the podcast that teaches you how to learn a language, very much in the name. And my name is Lindsay. I am your host for this show and for this episode. And this time we are going to be talking about how to learn multiple languages at once without sacrificing one for the other, because it can be done. Kind of think it should be done, and I have a little something new to share with you to help on that front. If it's something that you've kind of struggled with or something that you've maybe wanted to do but put off, I have a little something. That something, I'll tell you about it now and then we'll talk about it again at the end. It's called Dabbler's Den. So if you have been listening for a while, you'll know that I'm a big fan of not only learning multiple languages, but also dabbling, right? And just having that freedom to explore and to play and discover new languages without that pressure of taking them to some level of fluency, right? And that's what Dabbler's Den is all about. This is a free opportunity every single month to learn a new language with me. We're going to have 1 hour live where we'll be checking in and we'll be using different techniques each time to explore a brand new language. So even if the language that month isn't necessarily a language that you're thinking, oh yeah, on my radar, I've been thinking about it, it will still be beneficial to you because there's going to be a new way of learning that you'll learn. And honestly, every single time that I have learn a new language or even just dabbled with something for like an hour or a weekend, you know, it doesn't even matter how long, there's always been something that I've learned from that experience and been able to then apply to the languages that I'm more focused on. So there is just huge benefits, and it's a way just to have a little bit of community, a chance to check in, to get to know each other a little bit better. So I'm really, really looking forward to this. It's happening live on Friday the 12th of January at 2 p.m. UK time. That's the first session. I'm thinking that each month, the day, the time might kind of change. But if you're signed up once, you're signed up for all the Dabbler's Den sessions every single month. So even if you know you can't make it on Friday, sign up now. You'll be able to get all of the updates for, like, you know, upcoming sessions as well. So highly recommend that you go and do that. You can do so at lindsaydoeslanguages.com/dabblersden. And I'll see you on the inside. It's going to be fun. It's going to be so much fun. All right then. So let's get into our topic for today, how to learn multiple languages at once. I love talking about this. But there's always like a kind of starting point. There's a lot of myths about multiple languages, and we need to clear those up before we can dig into the kind of how-to side of things, right? So we'll work on that. And I need to tell you something first of all. I am coming at this from quite a biased position because I have rarely studied one language at a time. Instead, I've almost always been learning multiple languages simultaneously, whether that's 2 or 3 or 10 or whatever. Like, I've always been doing multiple languages at once, like 9. If you pick, you know, 9 points in my language history out of 10, there'll be more than one language on the go. And when I get into a new language, I often dive in head first. I try to learn as much as I can, as quickly as possible, have that speedy gain. And it's kind of like eating just one chocolate from the box. You know, you start with one and you think, okay, yeah, it's good. But then there's something about it that can make it quite hard to not keep going, right? So that means that I then want to keep going with something when there's already something on the go. How do you manage? How do you balance all of that? It can be tricky, but it really doesn't have to be. It can be something that just feels seamless. And, you know, it doesn't mean necessarily that it needs to be double the work if it's double the languages. That's not true at all. So we'll clear up the myths, first of all, before we get into it. So myth number one, then, it's best to focus on one language at a time. So there's this idea that having multiple languages in your head at once will confuse you. But I know people who are fluent in 5 or 6 languages or more, and they manage just fine. It's all good. If you are learning closer related languages, so something, let's say, like Spanish and Italian, there may be some similar vocab. But if you mix things up there, it really doesn't matter, because oftentimes you can still be understood, right? And the things where you're not understood, they're the bits that you sort of like creates a little marker, a little red flag, a little highlight in your brain of like, oh, that's one that's different. You know, so gradually you won't mix things up as much. And the fact is, you can usually tell when you've got two languages mixed up. And also, if you do get them wrong, no one's going to die. Like, it's not really a big deal unless, I don't know, you're like a lawyer on a bilingual court case. I don't know. You know what I mean? Most of the time, it's all good. It's really not that big of a deal when you mix things up. And so it's not necessarily best just to focus on one language at a time, because if you do choose to do that, when do you add in another? Because you never finish learning a language. That end goal that we set out with, of whether it's, you know, become fluent in Spanish or, you know, be able to speak German effortlessly, whatever that end goal is, that only ever seems to get further away. If you haven't got milestones, you know, and kind of goals along the way towards that, that just feels further away because your estimation of what that means, your interpretation of that goal changes as you get better. And so you never finish learning a language. You're never going to be at that point where you feel like, yeah, I'm done. You know, I'm finished with Spanish. It's now time to bring in the German. Like, it's just not a thing that really happens as much as you would imagine. And so there's no perfect moment to add in another language because you're never finished. So you get stuck thinking you need to be fluent before adding another, but you never reach that level that feels like fluent. So it's all good. It's not necessarily just best to focus on one at a time. They can actually help and support you. Myth number two, and this is quite related here, if you learn multiple languages, you'll never be fluent. So this is based on the idea that if you want to become really proficient in a language, you need to dedicate your life to it. But this isn't true. When learning languages, I tend to have one, maybe two that are kind of my core focus. And these are the priority. These are the ones that I study first in a day. And by giving them more focus and more priority, you're allowing them some space to grow and improve because it becomes more of a regular thing. And you can still work on your other languages at a slower pace. So you could have achieved, you know, a reasonable level that you feel is like, yeah, okay, I'm good here. I'm happy with this. And, you know, like, this is the other thing. When we talk about kind of fluency and proficiency and mastery in these words, and we get tangled up in the meanings of them all because we think that that's the end goal. We think that that therefore means perfect, right? And in many situations, that's not the level that you actually need. So you get to a point where you can survive in most situations and that feels good enough and you're satisfied with that. You feel like you're fluent enough there. And so you're able to then think, right, okay, that can be kind of ticking over in the background at a slower pace because I've already reached a level I'm happy with right now, but I don't want to lose that by just going, woof, done. I'm going to abandon it while I do this other one, you know. The trick is here not to be comparing yourself, whether that's with native speakers, whether that's with learners further down the line. When you start comparing yourself with others, there's just, they say comparison is the thief of joy, and it is so true. What you need to be doing here is comparing your current self with your past self. And, you know, we have, like in language life, we have so many elements of the program that are designed to help with this, right? So things like the weekly wins with the monthly feedback, a lot of those human support elements from me, that direct feedback from me, is there and designed to give you those opportunities to be comparing your current self with your past self. As you submit your speaking and writing prompts, as you do that on a regular basis, you're giving yourself this kind of fluency evidence, right? That is then something you can look back on and go, ooh, yeah, I have got better. And so that is the best way to see your own improvement in a language, not to be looking at someone else, right? You know, eyes on your own paper. Don't worry about anyone else. This is you. This is your language journey and your experience. Okay, myth number three. And this is the one that really gets me, right? It's better to be really fluent in one language than conversational in lots. And maybe you're thinking, okay, you've talked about Dabbler's Den. You've talked about how much you love learning multiple languages, Lindsay, right? Here we go. You're going to say it's the other way around. No, I'm not going to say that it's better the other way around either, because there is no better or worse. There's just different for different people and different situations, depending on your wants and your needs. It's all going to be such a personal thing. There is no one right way to go about language learning. So sure, right? If you use one additional language for work, or you study through it, or you live surrounded by it, then it makes sense to aim for, you know, a high proficiency in that one language if it's something that has these, you know, these impacts on your life, right? But that doesn't mean that there's only disadvantages to knowing many languages at lower levels. Even just knowing a few words in a language can be so impactful in certain situations. The amount of times where just having like a really simple conversation starter in a language that I'm not fluent in abroad has given way to then, you know, further interactions and further experiences. Like, I've been in Myanmar and been offered noodles in the street. I've been like in, again, actually in Myanmar in a flood. Like, and the tour that I'd been on that day, I didn't even realize, but the tour leader lived next door. And as I'm walking down to go to the market, she says, "Oh, hi, you know, where are you going?" I said, I'm going down to the food market, get some food. Oh, it's all shut because of the floods. Like, it's crazy. I was like, oh, okay. I get invited for dinner. Like, all of these little moments, because we'd had these interactions where I was able to just, you know, check in just with a few words. It's not always about fluency. And the other thing here, oh, this is a big one. Multilingual is the norm around the world for more people than we might first think. In fact, more than half the world's population are estimated to be bilingual or monolingual. So monolingualism is not the default. Just speaking English and assuming that everyone else speaks English too is not the default. And neither is perfectly balanced, fluent bilingualism. So move fearlessly forward with multilingual as the default. Okay, we've cleared up a little bit of the myth stuff, right? Now let's get into some of the practical things on how we can actually learn multiple languages at once. Firstly, let's talk about time management. Now, there are several key principles to learning multiple languages at once, but I find the most important thing is your time management. And I say this in Language Life. In fact, the lesson on time management is called time management, open brackets, or not, close brackets, because time can't really be managed. Like, it's always going to be moving. There was a TV show when I was growing up in the UK called Bernard's Watch, where this little boy had a watch that he could push the button and it would stop time. So he could pause time, right? It was amazing. So I always say, you know, we don't have Bernard's Watch. We can't pause time. It will keep moving regardless of how much or how little we're doing with our languages, regardless of how, you know, satisfied we are with that. It's still going to be going forwards. And that said, right, sort of time management or not, knowing how to manage the time that we have and the time we have to work with is key when it comes to any language, but especially multiple languages. So you don't need to have every single minute of the day earmarked for this language and then for that language. But if you can develop your skills of actively using your time well, then you'll be giving yourself a big advantage when it comes to learning multiple languages at once successfully. In fact, that time management lesson in Language Life, it's the same module. So the module is balance. There's a lesson on time management. There is a lesson on multiple languages. It's all in the same space because it's so connected, right? So you can't, as we said, you can't manage time. It will always happen. We can't control that, but we can control what we're doing with the time, right? So developing your prioritizing skills and understanding your procrastination triggers so you can avoid them as much as possible. That's the sort of stuff that really helps it. And we, like I say, we do all of this in so much more detail inside Language Life as well. Second, then, consider your environment. So where you choose to do your learning can have a big impact on how effectively you learn. And sometimes we have little control over this. For example, if you're learning kind of on the go, in an airport, a train station, in the car, or if you are in the midst of moving house and there's no desk space or quiet study corner available to you, then it's, you know, that control is temporarily out of your hands, right? But we can still learn in any environment because not all learning we do will always be the most effective. And that is okay. Everything counts. There is this pressure, right, to put off learning languages until you have the, by the way, non-existent, perfect learning environment, until you are in that perfect scenario. But no, instead of doing that, start now with where you are, with what you have. Just take those first steps, because it's not always about it being the best and the most effective. It's about showing up and putting in the effort and doing the reps, we can say, right? For example, I, over kind of the last sort of bit of December, I always like to think ahead when it comes to New Year and what I want to do and all of that stuff. And I was thinking about languages, and I came across, I've heard of it before, right? The app Todoist. And I'm always experimenting with stuff like this, but this one, you know, so far this feels good. It feels exactly like what I need for my languages. So I spent a little bit of time kind of organizing, thinking, okay, what languages do I want to focus on? What do I want going on in the background? What do I want to do for each of them? And those tasks I've now got like set to repeat. So it comes up every day. It's telling, oh yeah, I need to do that today. I don't want to forget that tomorrow. Like, it's really taken the thinking process out of it. So those little sort of micro habits are happening, and they're not always the most effective. So when I've got, for example, record myself with my phone set to come around every day for some languages, that doesn't mean that every single day I have half an hour of perfect sitting and planning and writing a script and editing the script and correcting the mistakes before I speak into my phone. Equally, it doesn't mean that I have a perfect 10 minutes to sit and just hit record and talk long about one particular thing that comes up. Some days I'm literally recording just one sentence, but I am doing it. And with that, I'm speaking more than I would have without those kind of habits, without managing that time more effectively, right? So this stuff is so important. And it starts with considering what you can control, making the adjustments that you can to enjoy your learning more. So for example, if you enjoy audio lessons on your commute on the bus, would a pair of noise-cancelling headphones be a good investment? I know that I'm not massive on audio lessons, but for my listening, I do a lot of that while I'm walking, and my headphones are kind of bone conductor. So if I'm walking down a noisy street and there's traffic, I'm missing out on that bit, and it's kind of annoying. And, you know, thankfully that's not the extent of my walk, but if it was, if all of my walk was like that alongside the traffic, then I know that actually it would be good for me to have some sort of noise cancelling headphones or something sort of over ear to contain the sound so I can stay more in the zone with it. Another example, if you are moving, if you're not in a bit of a, you know, not in that permanent home right now, things are surrounded by boxes and all packed away at home, does that mean that a trip to the library would be worthwhile to just get some space to really think about it? And equally, if you have been on a screen all day for work emails, would a book be better in the evening than apps, where you're then looking at a screen even more and it probably feels just like work? So really considering what you're doing and what your environment looks like and what you want it to look like for your language time. Okay, break between languages. So if you have some time to study multiple languages in one go, just taking a little moment to have a bit of a break in between to kind of glide from one to the other a little more comfortably is really beneficial. And this doesn't mean that you have to, like, it can mean this. It doesn't mean that you have to, like, stand up and move about and go and sit in a different place. It can be that, but it doesn't have to be. If it literally just means going from one app to the other, that's fine, right? Just having that change. And, you know, it's good to have that break if it's possible, but if it's not, It's okay. But it's fine to sort of move about a little bit before you then settle back in. You sort of, what that does is when you're able to take that slightly longer break between studying, it helps to just avoid fatigue and boredom in the second one, because chances are you'll be sitting down in the first one, you'll be more focused, paying more attention. And then if it's like, okay, now next, it just becomes like a bit of a chore, a bit of a bore, and that's not what we want. So if you're finding that that's the case, taking that little break when you can be really useful. Okay, connected to that last one then, ease yourself in. So it is a good chance to use that time smartly to kind of ease yourself into the next language. Let's say, for example, that you have an hour. You could have 25 minutes with one language doing some focused study time. Then you take that 5-minute break, and while you are waiting for the kettle to boil, or you are kind of walking about just having a bit of a stretch, you are maybe listening to some music or some talk radio. Radio Garden is great for this. The SBS audio is really good for this. Even like a memorize or a drop session could be that bridge that you have. Maybe even talking out loud to yourself or repeating what you hear on the break too. And by the way, this is all in the second language, right? We're not just extending that first one. This is going into the second. So you can study multiple languages in the same place, but kind of intentionally breaking things up and easing yourself in and out is really, really useful. Okay, so laddering, learning one through another. So perhaps you are not studying multiple languages actively at the same level, but instead you've got one or two that you don't want to lose completely while you learn a new one. In this case, you could learn one language through another. So for example, if you know Spanish pretty well, and you want to learn Catalan, you can use Spanish as your base language to find resources in when you're learning Catalan, right? And this also has the advantage of potentially opening up new resources to you as well. So, for example, when I was learning Guarani, there wasn't masses available via English, but when I was looking for resources taught through Spanish, suddenly that opened up a whole host of stuff, including like a Duolingo course, right? Like, isn't that like the language holy grail, right? So it's really about sort of thinking where you might find different resources, how you could incorporate your sort of previous languages into that, if at all, if you want to as well. This by no means is an obligation. But yeah, like I've noticed as well that my current teacher teaches both Russian and Turkish. I managed to find one person to teach me both. And when I said, oh yeah, he said, oh, I've got a course in Turkish taught through Russian. And I was like, perfect, let's go. That's what we need. And so that's what we're going to be using for a bit of it, right? So it doesn't always have to be. And my Russian, by the way, is nowhere near the level of my Spanish. But using it to bring in another language to learn more Turkish is going to be a useful tool to see these patterns that maybe I hadn't quite got before, that hadn't been explained to me in the clearest way. You know what I mean? And so it has a lot of potential advantages. So this is a great tool when you are at a reasonable level in that first additional language or better. And you might even learn some new words too in that first language. So I learned a lot in Spanish from learning Guarani through it, loads of words that were kind of regional and stuff like this. So yeah, highly recommend. Okay, next, mix up resources. So it's not one becoming the fun language and the other the dull one. So there is a bit of a risk when you're learning multiple languages that one language ends up becoming the fun one and the other the boring one. And this can happen when you're actively learning a new one and the older language, or even a new one that you're learning much more casually, ends up only being the fun and the easy activities, which kind of then leaves the poor old new language stuck with grammar drills and vocab lists, and because that's the one that you're focusing on, so you're doing those more sort of study intensive activities, and you don't then have room for the sort of lighter, more fun, more easy stuff. First of all successful language learning should be three things. We can call them the three F's: functional, fun, and flexible, right? Functional, fun, and flexible. It could be working really well. It could be functional, right? And it could be working so well that it is fitting in and around your holiday and all of your crazy new work schedule, and you're still getting things done. It's flexible. But if it's not fun, it's not going to stick around long, right? The motivation is going to dip. It isn't going to work. And equally, it could be working, it could be functional, and it could be fun, and you're enjoying yourself, and you've got the right activities, but is it flexible? No. You go on holiday, you skip a day, and poof, the whole thing falls apart. So really what we're looking for is all three, something that hits all three of those elements, those factors. Oh, factor begins with an F as well, right? The three F factors, the F factors, there we go. So there is no reason that things have to be this way with multiple languages, where one thing is the fun and one is the boring one. And we can definitely avoid this really easily. All you need to do is mix up your resources and activities for all languages that you're studying from time to time. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to switch every single week and that you never finish a chapter in a course book. It's more so in that the additional activities can be made more playful and fun. So for example, right now, with my new format, with my Todoist language list, I have my reading activity for most of those languages set to read Wikipedia article. By the way, I feel like I should do a whole episode about the Wikipedia app because it's amazing. So more on that later. We'll let me know if you want to hear that. We'll talk about it because it's so good for languages, I mean. And so, yeah, that's my current thing that I have set for reading. But I know that eventually I might get bored of that. And so you're always monitoring, you're always kind of observing yourself and thinking, actually, yeah, I've noticed that I'm not doing that as much now, so that needs to change. Or I've noticed that I'm not looking forward to that, so that needs to change. Or that's the fun side of it, right? Or that isn't working, it's not functional, it's not getting me the results I want, so it needs to change. Or I went on holiday and it didn't work, it's not flexible, it needs to change, right? That's the kind of monitoring that you want to be doing so that you're mixing up activities and keeping it fresh. And the three F factors, flexible, functional, and fun for all your languages. Okay, next up, set your balance. So when learning multiple languages at once, the balance will always be different for everyone. And like I said, balance the multiple languages, they go hand in hand. It's why the multiple language lesson in Language Life is in the balance module, right? You'll want to start by considering how much progress that you want to make in each language and how much time you can and want to devote to each language too. So if this balance is kind of near a 50-50, that's cool, that's fine, right? If it's 90-10, that works too. And if it's 40-40-20, and not 33.3 times 3, that's also fine. Whatever your balance looks like of how you'll spend your time on multiple languages is good. The important thing is that you recognize your progress will likely be slower when you learn multiple languages, especially if the balance is uneven. And that's okay. All that needs to happen here is that you need to acknowledge and recognize that and be happy with that. And if you're not happy with that, then we need a more even balance to be working with, because once you've acknowledged this, you are golden and it's all good and you can keep going. But if you're not happy with that, then it will need to be evened out a little bit more. Okay, acknowledge language differences and similarities. So not all languages are the same, of course. That is one of the big joys of the world, but there's always some associations to be made. I have found things that remind me of something in the other language in comparisons and combinations as unusual and unexpected as Guarani and Turkish, Russian and Dutch, and Japanese and German. And even just recently, I thought, yeah, I've been to Turkey now, I probably don't need Turkish. And then I kind of looked at those first Hindi words and saw the word for city and thought, oh, it's like Turkish. And so I'm like, yeah, okay, I need to keep a toe in that Turkish water because there's this unexpected connection that's emerged. So there is always some connection to be found, and it can go way beyond similar vocab too. So noticing and acknowledging the language differences and similarities that you find, perhaps even noting them in one place, really, really helpful. And don't be afraid. We kind of touched on this in the beginning when we talked about the myths, but don't be afraid of mixing your languages. When we try and keep languages individually boxed up separately, we are actively denying that natural formation of these connections, all of which can help us remember more in more languages down the line. I used to think that when I was learning a language, it was going into its own box in my brain. And it was like the French box kept closed, separate to the Spanish box, which stayed closed until I needed it. And, and that is wrong. That's not actually how it works. You know, I've done a lot of learning on this. I did my whole master's in applied linguistics, so I know how this all works now. And that's not it, right? The way that this works is that what we're doing when we're learning any word in any language is we are building our whole linguistic repertoire, right? And those connections, if we try to avoid, what we're doing is we're actually resisting something that could help us remember, right? So let it happen. It's all good. Getting a word wrong in one language for another, it's not a sign of weakness or being bad at a language. It's actually a sign of being pretty badass because you know multiple languages. So embrace that because it's amazing. And if you want more of that, because we have come to the end now. Now it's the full list. This is a longer than usual episode. So I hope that you've enjoyed this one. If you want more of that, if you want more of those connections to be forming, then I highly recommend that you join us for Dabbler's Den. This is a brand new monthly live session. This is your chance to learn a new language every single month, live with me in just 1 hour. We are going to dig into a new language every month. Our language for January is Hindi. It's happening on Friday the 12th of January at 2 p.m. UK time. And if you sign up once for Dabbler's Den, you are signed up for all future Dabbler's Dens. So you never need to worry about missing one or anything like that. You'll get the updates for all of them. And yeah, I think you're going to love it. It's going to be so much fun. We did a session of this at Grace and Space, which is the virtual retreat I host more or less annually. We did this last year and such good feedback. I really enjoyed it. Everyone else really enjoyed it. So I'm like, yeah, we need to do this more regularly. Like I say, if you can't join live, still sign up so you get those updates. If you do want the replays for Dabbler's Den's sessions will be uploaded exclusively inside Language Life, where you'll have this growing archive of language discovery just waiting for you. So you can sign up now, lindsaydoeslanguages.com/Dabbler's Den. The link is in the show notes as well. And that is it for this episode. Have a wonderful rest of your day. If you've enjoyed this episode, I would really appreciate it. And I always forget to do this necessary podcast checklist item. I always forget to do this bit, but if you enjoy this show, then please do rate, please do review, subscribe, share with a friend. All of that stuff really helps us to get found and discovered by more people who this is relevant for, right? And I would really appreciate that. All right, thank you, and I will speak to you very soon. Bye.